So how is everybody?
I mean, there are so few times nowadays, you know, where I give instructions, you know, where I answer questions. I mean, even though I say, you know, it is not necessary to come, I mean, out of self-interest they should come. Yeah? I mean, here, we come here to practice, yeah? And most of us, you know, cannot practice on their own. They need instructions, yeah? Yeah? And they need some motivation sometimes, yeah? Sometimes we need, you know, some hitting on the back, you know, I mean, in order to wake up, you know, and go on, yeah? Here in this monastery, just like in Wat Pa Pantat, as Lung Tamabo said, you know, this is the forest university. I mean, there's no formal meditation courses. Yeah? There's no formal walking meditation. There's no formal sitting meditation. Everybody is free to walk as long as he can or sit as long as he can and then change to another posture and then sit and walk again. Yeah? I mean, there's an interruption in the morning, you know, before the morning, I mean, we try to sweep around the sala, yeah? And then we have a meal, you know, after the meal we clean up the sala, and that's it, yeah? And then in the afternoon we clean the monastery, we clean the toilets, yeah? And then we have a little bit of panna, yeah? And that's it. And then the rest of the time, yeah? Mostly 20 hours is for your own improvement of your practice, yeah? I mean, do as much as you can. Yeah? I mean, there won't be so many monasteries, even here in Thailand, you know, that practice as well. Yeah? Sometimes, you know, in most of the monasteries I hear, you know, I mean, you have chanting in the morning, you have chanting in the evening, you know, and then you have formal practice and this, yeah. It is here, this monastery is made for people, you know, who really want to go further. Yeah? And what we are practicing here is the fourth noble truth, yeah? In Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Sila, I mean, we keep the 8 precepts, yeah? When we are monks, you know, we keep the 227 precepts. When we are novices, we keep the 10 precepts, yeah? That's it, you know, and we don't wiggle around, yeah? We just keep them, yeah? And that's it, yeah? And then we practice Samadhi. The Samadhi is in the practice of, you know, I mean, either with the Buddha, with the attention or in our Kamatan, yeah? That be it the Buddha or be it the Anapanasati, you know. Keeping our attention on the breath, you know, or keeping our attention on the Buddha, yeah? When our attention, you know, goes away, goes into thoughts and memories, then we bring it back. And that's where we need all the effort, yeah? We need the effort to bring the mind back to our kamatan, our basis of practice, eh? Our object of attention, eh? Or awareness. Eh? And this we do, you know, as much as possible. Yeah? From the morning we wake up, yeah? We don't have any work, you know, that requires thinking. Eh? It requires, you know, opening our eyes and seeing what is going on. Eh? That's also a practice of awareness. Eh? Seeing what is going on, seeing what needs to be done, and then we do it. So the attention on the breath, or the attention on the Buddha, yeah, the moment it goes away, we bring it back. And that's where we need all our effort. Because the mind wants to go and think about this, you know, and think, you know, why is this thought coming, or why is this memory coming, you know, and then it goes into thinking, you know, and then, yeah. Before we realize it, half an hour of our practice has gone. Yeah? Thinking about this, thinking about that. Before we realize, oh, we are not with the Buddha, or we are not with the breath. Hmm? Then we go back. Yeah? We don't punish ourselves. Yeah, we just, you know, instantly we notice it, we go back to the breath, or we go back to the Buddha. That is the practice. Yeah? And once the mind gets calm, once there are no more thoughts coming in, or no more memories coming in, then we rest, you know, we gather all the energy that we gather in Upachara Samadhi, and once we come out of Upachara Samadhi, then we can do the investigation. So that is the third part of the path, yeah, panya, developing of wisdom. And what we investigate is the 5 khandha, yeah. That's what we are attached to, yeah. We don't realize that we are attached to, but we are attached to the body. Hmm? Everybody, you know, everybody, no matter where he is in this world, yeah, I mean, is attached to this body. Yeah? If you are not attached to this body, we would not be born. It's like, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, people in the world, you know, who are not attached to the car, you know, they wouldn't have a car. So we are attached to this body. That's why we are in this in this situation we are. Yeah? And if we don't get rid, you know, of our attachment to these things, yeah, I mean, we will have another body. And then another body. Yeah, we are born and we die, and we're born and we die. You know, I mean, endless time, and there's no stop to it. Unless we make a stop to it. And this place, you know, I mean, it's good to make a stop to it, yeah? So with the first thing, if we investigate, you know, the body, yeah? And with the investigation of the body, investigation of, yeah? The body is not self, yeah? The body has a driver, and the driver is the citta. Just like the car has a driver, yeah? The car and the driver are not one and the same thing, yeah? Without the driver, the car does not move. Without the citta, yeah, when the citta is quiet or when the citta is completely absorbed, the body does not move. This is something we have to understand. Yeah? The citta is the prime mover. Yeah? The citta moves this body. Hmm? If it itches, you know, the citta moves it. Yeah? It moves it to scratch. Right? If you feel uncomfortable, you know, I mean, if you need to straighten up, it's the citta that straightens up. The body doesn't do anything. Yeah? Except for breathing, you know, and blood flow, yeah? Heartbeat, yeah? That's what the body does, yeah? It's not completely mechanical, it's a biological robot, yeah? And this is something we have to understand, yeah? We have to understand, we have to investigate it, you know, how the citta moves the body, or when the body moves, I mean, we have to investigate, you know, what came before that, yeah? The citta moved, yeah? When the citta moves, the body normally moves. And that's it. Yeah? I mean, we have to separate ourselves out. Yeah? That is the first thing. Yeah? Once we know, you know, once we know we are the driver, or the citta is the driver, and the body, you know, is the car, yeah? Then we can separate ourselves out. Yeah? And see, you know, we are not the car. You know, whatever happens to the car, it does not happen to the citta. Yeah? If the body gets hurt, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that the citta gets hurt. Yeah? But most of the people, you know, I am in pain. Yeah? Instead of saying there is pain. Yeah? Yeah? Of course we notice, yeah. If somebody if we sit in the car and somebody scratches our car, or we run against a pole, I mean, of course we know it. How can we not know it? Yeah? And we feel sorry, you know, of course, you know, because we need to mend it, yeah? It's the same with the body, yeah? But we certainly do know, you know, I mean, if we get out of the car, and the car might get stretched, but, you know, the driver is not, yeah? this is of utter importance, yeah? It is of utter importance. It is one of the, you know, it's one of the fetters, and the biggest fetters, you know, that we have to cut down, yeah? In order, you know, go to the first stage of liberation, the stage of sotapanna, yeah? This is something we have to understand. Yeah? For people who don't know it, you know, there are three fetters that we have to cut in order to get to the stage of sotapanna, yeah? When we are here in the monasteries, yeah, I mean, we do believe in karma, we do believe in the results of karma, that is the first set of doubt. We believe in heaven and hell, yeah, that there's heaven and hell, yeah, that there are beings in heaven and there are beings in hell. This is the first fetter. Now most of the people in this world, you know, I mean, they are stuck with this fetter. They don't believe in heaven, they don't believe in hell, they don't believe in karma, yeah, they don't believe in the results of the karma. They believe somebody else did it onto us. No. Nothing that is happening to us, you know, somebody else has done unto us. It's all our own doing. If we realize that, you know, I mean, we can live a happy life. That's it. The second fetter is not keeping the five precepts. The five precepts, you know, are essential. The Lord Buddha said, you know, if somebody keeps the five precepts, he can come back as a human being. Not only as a human being, you know, if you do something a little bit more, you can even go to heaven.
Yeah.
But if you don't keep the five precepts, you will sooner or later end up in hell. I mean, this is as clear statement as can be possible. But normally people in the world don't believe it.
Yeah?
So that's why we keep the five precepts, yeah? It helps our meditation as well.
Yeah?
I mean, if you're going, you know, if you don't keep the five precepts or hear the eight precepts very strictly, I mean, it will come up in your practice, yeah? The moment you go very, very quiet, the mind becomes very quiet. I mean, the kilesas, yeah, who guide us, you know, to go against the five precepts or go against the eight precepts, come up and tell us, you see what you've done, you know, I mean, this is not good, you know. And then our practice of samadhi is gone. Huh? Then we have to go back to the beginning. Yeah? So the best thing for us, you know, also for our samadhi practice, is to keep the five precepts or the eight precepts. So that is the second fetter, to constantly fiddle. You know, one day we take it, the other day we don't take it, or this moment we take it, and then next moment we break it. Yeah? Taking it, breaking it, that is the second fetter. And the third fetter is just, yeah, I mean, some people think, you know, the third fetter is, I mean, to completely get rid of the body. No.
No.
It is the view that we have, you know, that we and body and the citta are one and the same thing, or we are the body. We are born in the body, we die in the body, and that's why we believe we are the body. But this is an investigation we have to do to separate ourselves out, yeah? The Lord Buddha at the time, you know, when he started teaching, you know, he knocked at our car and said, get out, yeah, and see that the car and the, yeah, and the driver are not one and the same thing, yeah, that the citta and the body are not one and the same thing. In this, if we can mend these three fetters, you know, I mean, we can advance to Sotapanna. And Sotapanna is a relief because, I mean, when we know it, you know, what the Lord Buddha said about it, I mean, at most we are born seven more times, yeah? That's the most, yeah? Within these seven more lives, you know, I mean, we can attain to Nibbana. I mean, this is a relief, yeah? Huh? From the perspective, you know, of endless birth and death, huh? So we have to attain to it, yeah? At least, you know, I mean, we have to put all our emphasis in this life, because we don't know where we end up in this next life, yeah? Maybe we go to heaven, maybe we go to hell, yeah? Maybe we become a ghost, yeah? Maybe we go to the animal realm, we don't know, yeah? We don't know what kind of karma we have in store, yeah? I mean, it is not only the karma that we have in this world, yeah? Or that we acquired in this world, it is also the old karma that we have from previous life, yeah? This is something, you know, that's why I say, you know, be very careful, you know, in your human life. You have 24 hours, yeah? And we can do a lot of harm, we can do a lot of good, you know, within these 24 hours and, you know, however many days we have in our life. So separate yourself out, yeah? I mean, the first two fetters, yeah? Normally for people who come here, yeah, they're okay, yeah? So we work on the third fetter, yeah? First we work on samadhi, you know, to get the mind extremely calm, yeah? And to gather energy, it is like, you know, to focus, you know, to be able to focus on one thing. Being aware of what is going on, yeah? And then investigate, you know, I mean, separate the body from the citta. I mean, I talked often how we can do it, you know, I mean, we sit there, you know, with our eyes closed, you know, and then we cut off, you know, parts of the body and put it in front of us. Yeah? I mean, mentally, not physically. Yeah? You can't put them back together when you do it physically. Yeah? So, yeah? And then see, you know, what is watching, what is observing these parts of the body, yeah? And what part of the body is the body. Yeah? It's just body part, there's no body. Yeah? And then we assemble it again, and then we disassemble it again, and we assemble it again, until the realization comes, you know, I mean, the citta and the body are two different things. That is all what we need, yeah, inclusive, you know, samadhi, the attainment of samadhi, you know, I mean, to be able to cut the first three fetters and enter Sotapanna. And there are some people, you know, some people in the West ask, why are you not going to the West and teach the people in the West? Why I'm not going? Because, I mean, before we can even start our practice, yeah, I mean, we need to have some three requisites, yeah. And the three requisites, you know, I mean, here in Thailand, I mean, they are there, yeah. I mean, it is generosity. The people here are very generous. Yeah? It is, people are very respectful here. Yeah? It's respect. And they are also grateful. Yeah? And when I go to the West, these basic things are lacking. Yeah? And that's why I can't, you know, why I can't go to the West, you know, if these basic things are lacking, we don't even need to start samadhi and investigation. Yeah? Because these things are lacking. It's also these three prerequisites, you know, are important, you know, for if we want to go to heaven, you know, I mean, inclusive, you know, the five precepts, and these three prerequisites, you know, are requisites, you know, for going up to heaven. This I really want you to understand, yeah, and I want you, you know, who are here in the monastery, I mean, to really take up this opportunity. It is really precious. Yeah? When I first came to Wat Phanthat, you know, I mean, I've been to many monasteries before, yeah. I came to Wat Phanthat and I said, finally, yeah, finally I'll find a place where I can practice as much as I like. Yeah? Or as much as I can, yeah. And nobody, you know, tells me, okay, now 1 hour walking meditation, 1 hour sitting meditation, now I have to do this, now I have to do that. Yeah. We have very little work, you know, I mean, there's hardly any distraction, there are not many people coming here, so I mean, it is a perfect place, you know, it's quite isolated, yeah. So use the time, yeah, use the time wisely. So you got what I'm talking about, Sunny, and the rest of you who are listening in?
Yes,
Dhananjay. Okay, go ahead, you know, and ask your questions. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, if questions to ask live to Dhananjay, please raise your hand.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Ajahn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I would like to ordain as a monk, and I have argued a lot with my mother, and finally she told me that I am free to do whatever I want. I am old enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious that she feels that I don't have to do it, and I am in the evil path. And I am worried about how she will handle the situation if I go away from her. And on the other side, I don't have contact with my father, and it's almost impossible to talk to him. Do you think that with this situation it's okay to ordain? And what advice can you give me?
It depends on what country are you from?
I am originally from Morocco.
Morocco. Don't we have a Moroccan here? Yes. We have a Moroccan. Yeah?
Yeah, I came to the Moroccan.
No, no, I mean, I think, you know, Morocco is fine, yeah? Huh? So you can... There's no problem for you to be able to ordain, yeah? The problem is, you know, if you can stay here, huh? If it is really the thing that you like, yeah? So that's, yeah, I mean, we just saw it, you know, I mean, if people stay here for 3-4 months, you know, they suddenly, you know, their inclination was to come to ordain, and then suddenly, you know, they leave, yeah? Because it's not the right thing for them, yeah? So you come, yeah, before you ordain, you know, you come here, you know, for 3, 4, or 6 months, you know, and then see if it is to your liking, yeah. And then, you know, after that time, if you still feel, you know, it is okay, yeah, then you go there ordain, yeah. You're old enough, probably, you know, you're over 21, so I mean, yeah, you have your permission from your mother, you know, and if you can't get in touch with your father, it's also okay. Yeah.
Thank you,
Ajahn. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. I just would like to thank you, first of all, because I've been listening to you for about 3 years, and I would like to thank the people they were recording every time, every recording, and I would like to thank you that this recording I'm able to listen because I come from India.
From where? From where?
India.
What was it?
Slovakia.
Oh, Slovakia. Oh, I've been in Slovakia, I mean, 2007.
Oh.
I made a tour there, yeah. I think 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. But a long time ago. Okay, so go ahead with your question.
I was in UK in 2007, and I learned to meditate in Buddha Patipa Temple in UK, in England.
What town?
I moved here, London, in Wimbledon.
Oh, Wimbledon. Ah, yeah, that's the old temple, yeah. It's a Thai temple, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just would like to ask, I have a daughter now, and here, as you said, it's very Christian orientated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to, I do not want to push her, I just want to let her free to choose. But she is not orientated Christian, she is nor baptized or nothing, she is nothing.
That's okay.
But I just would like to sit with her and start. She is 9. If you can give me, please, some advice, if I should seek some help, or if I can just introduce her to small meditations or...
Yes, I'm sure that you can do it. But, you know, she has to do it, yeah. I mean, just sit there, you know, and invite her, you know. Do you want to sit and meditate with me? You know, I can tell you what to do, yeah. If she doesn't want, don't force her. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she has her own mind. Yeah. And if you force her, actually, what you do is, you know, I mean, you drive her away from Buddhism. Yeah. If she sees that you are meditating, you know, maybe for an hour or for 1.5 hours, she might get interested. Yeah. But you cannot tell her, you know, I mean, to sit down and meditate while you don't do it, yeah? I mean, you have to be the example, yeah? Okay?
It is very, if I may ask a second question, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
It is very limited in here, and I often end up meditating myself, meditate in a closet. And there is not much chance to meet other teachers in Slovakia.
Mm.
And you can suggest if I seek and go to groups and to join a group meditation, because I often get stuck in a meditation.
I don't know about, yeah, I mean, I was in a meditation center in Slovakia, somewhere in the mountains, yeah. I mean, find something, you know, there are sometimes, you know, group retreats, yeah. I mean, within Slovakia, you know, I'm sure, I mean, they still probably keep it up, yeah. Or, I mean, Slovakia is not far away from Vienna, yeah. So you could go there, you know, there are some meditation courses, yeah. Just take a meditation course, yeah? Yeah? I mean, meditation group, you know, I mean, they're normally, I wouldn't suggest that too much, yeah? But a meditation course, you know, where people come together and, you know, I mean, exert themselves, you know, I mean, try to meditate, you know, try to get calm. I mean, that is a very good way, yeah? And then afterwards you separate and then you sit back, you know, in your house and home, yeah? And if you feel the need, you know, then you go to another retreat, yeah? Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you so much for all that. Thank you.
It's very early in the morning, yeah, I know.
It is 3:31 in the morning, yes. Well, hello, Bhante. Hope everything is fine, your health is in good state, and everything is auspicious for you.
Thank you, thank you. So,
yes, go ahead.
No, I want, what kind of question you want to ask? There's a lag, there's a time.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yes, I wanted to ask you, well, when I try to meditate, or even if I'm just going by myself in some activities, I have like a permanent soundtrack in my head all the time, most of the time. I hear music. I stopped actively by myself hearing music like about 5 or 6 years ago. I used to do it a lot before, all the time. And I just renounced that. I stopped. I gave everything away. I got rid of all my music and everything, and I stopped. But then I continuously hear music all the time, and it just gets reignited when I go to some place and I hear music, and then I will, you know, even when I'm trying to sleep, then it goes to music. When I try to meditate, there it goes for a long time. Before, I used to get irritated by that. Now I you know, I discovered what's the point of getting irritated, that is just affecting me directly. So I just, you know, just try to stay with it until it goes away. It is really persistent. Sometimes what I do is, normally I use my breath most of the time, that's my preferred method, but sometimes I use the butto, or some other type of kamatana to just to make it go away. But it's very persistent. So I wonder, is that like some type of vipaka from my actions, previous actions or something? It never goes away. It's really persistent.
Yeah. You have to wait a little bit. You have to have a lot of patience, yeah? But yeah, as you said, you know, I mean, you were listening to music and you're really interested in music, yeah? So there's still this interest, yeah? So there's a little bit when you meditate, you know, and the sound comes out, some of your interest, some of your awareness goes to the music, yeah? And this part of the awareness that goes to the music, you have to redirect towards the Buddha or towards, you know, the breath, yeah? When you do the Buddha, yeah? Feel like the Buddha is the music, you know, so you can combine it and be more interested in the Buddha, yeah? The moment you put your attention on the music or on the sounds, you know, that are there, they become amplified. And the more they become amplified, the more our interest goes out, yeah? So you have to put the interest back to the Buddha or back to the breath, yeah? And let the music, you know, combine together with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? You understand? It takes a while, you know, it takes a while, it takes a lot of fiddling, you know, to find it out, yeah? So, I mean, don't go out, go inward, yeah? And because if you're really with the Buddha, you don't hear, you know, you don't hear the music anymore. I mean, it slowly disappears. But if you have some interest, is the music still there? I mean, the awareness goes out, and it finds it, of course, yeah? So don't even worry about it. Yeah, worry about the Buddha or worry about the breath, yeah? With the Buddha, it is actually interesting, you know, once the Buddha, you know, runs on itself, you know, it becomes a form of music, yeah? But, you know, a rhythm that is very, very easy, you know, I mean, it is just like, you know, just like a prayer, you know, just like a prayer in a huge cathedral, yeah? I mean, it's, and then you can feel it, yeah? So the problem that you face, the problem that you face is that your interest in the music goes out. The part of, you know, you are with the Buddha and then you think you hear something and then this interest goes out, this awareness goes out and finds it. Huh? Instead of letting it going out, you know, I mean, you stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath. Yeah?
Very good, Bhakti.
Okay.
Thank you.
Try it out.
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you another thing. So, a few days ago, I had like a really good meditation, and I was able to really focus on my breath, really, really, really empty my mind. And I came to that point where you start to feel like there's no more breath, or it's going away, or it's really fine. And there was this type of inclination to be afraid, and then you know didn't know what to do, but it just then it just I came up again, I guess. I'm not sure how to express that, but it was like I was not feeling panic or anything, but I couldn't go through the point of not being afraid or what's going to happen. Although I prepare myself to whatever, but I guess I have to keep on trying and see if I can make the breakthrough.
Yeah. It is a difficult point, yeah? There are two ways, yeah? I mean, there's one to take before you sit in practice, yeah? I mean, take away this fear, yeah, that comes, yeah? If I go to sleep, I don't know what is happening. Am I still breathing when I am asleep? Or am I not breathing? Yeah? You don't know. Because you're asleep. Yeah? This is, you know, you can take this fear away. Yeah? The other thing is, instead of focusing, you know, on the fear that comes up, or the breath becomes so small when the breath disappears, what is happening? Yeah? Focus on what is actually happening, you know, be interested, you know. I mean, you feel, you know, I mean, you do feel that the mind gets really concentrated into a tunnel, yeah? And then just jump into this tunnel.
I've been hearing some of your talks, and you sometimes talk about that, and I you know, like I said, I kind of like prepare for whatever happened, but it just that,
yeah.
You know, I just came out of, I don't know how.
That is the normal way, you know, I mean, for most of the people, this is the way it happened, yeah. if you are more interested, you know, as I said, you know, there's one thing, we prepare ourselves, you know, whatever can disappear, let it disappear. Then there's no fear, yeah? And we remain with whatever, you know, stays on, yeah? The other thing is becoming more and more interested, what is going on, yeah? And sometimes we do have to do this jump, yeah? I mean, for me it was being interested, and the interest led me into deep samadhi. Huh? But then, you know, later on, you know, it became, you know, I was feeling, you know, what am I going to do now, yeah? and my venerable teaching master said, you know, I mean, once you know that the breath has stopped, yeah, and the breath has not yet stopped, yeah, I mean, you feel that the breath, you know, it gets less and less and lower, yeah, don't even worry about it, you know, wait until it stops. And when it stops, when it really, the knowing comes up, it has stopped, and then jump into the knowing. If the breath slowly disappears, that means also our interest slowly disappears in the breath. So, push more interest into the breath, be more, how is it breath at the moment, yeah? I mean, maybe you can overcome this problem.
Maharaj, you mentioned sleep bhakti. After, like a few days after I had that experience, I was sleeping and then I woke up and I felt this really, really profound vibration all over my body, and it felt like expansive. But I had, and it felt kind of like, whoa, what's happening? Maybe am I dying or something? And I relaxed. I said to myself, if I'm dying, that's fine. Let's see what happens. I just relax into it. But then I started, I just, you know, concentrated on what was happening and just I was just quiet, looking at it, or not looking, kind of like feeling it, experiencing it. And then I started to feel like there was like somebody watching me from, like, it was kind of like feeling when I kind of felt when, like, if there was in the jungle, I was kind of like a deer, and I was watched by tigers. And it was like this sensation of those presences were really dark, really, like, very, I mean, like, they were there to kill me if they see me or notice me. And I had to be, like, really quiet. In like, not only in the body, because I was kind of like in that state of I didn't feel my body, but it was like my mind, I need to keep my mind quiet, otherwise they will jump on me and attack me. And that stayed for a long while until they went away. Yeah. So, do you have any comments on that?
This is this kind of karma that comes back to you. Yeah. What you did was completely right. You have to be focused on the breath, or you have to be focused on the Buddha. Yeah? The moment, you know, the moment your awareness goes too much out to this, yeah, then they have the chance to enter you, yeah, and disturb you. Yeah? I mean, of course, yes, you can feel them outside, yeah. That is fine, yeah. But don't let them enter your citta.
So, you know what I did? I chanted Namo Tassa Bhagavato.
Okay, that's also good. Yeah. And then they are gone.
And it helped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helped. It calmed down for a while.
There is certain fear. Yeah. I mean, what is happening? You know, sometimes we get our karma back. Yeah. Yeah. And especially the more we meditate, the more of our karma will come back. Yeah. And some of this karma is this. You know, if we have done the same things to other people. You know, when we were maybe in the demon realm or in the ghost realm. Yeah. I mean, if it devas, you know, they don't bother you. Yeah, they don't come with dark forces. Yeah, but you know, if we have been in the demon realm and bothered other people, this karma will come back to us. Yeah, so they will do these things or try to to influence us. Yeah, so that they can have some of the power that we have and they don't have. Yeah, so Namo Tassa Bhagavato, fine. Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is you keep concentrated and don't let the energy out. Yeah, don't let the awareness out. Yeah? Because if you let the awareness out and go to them, then they can enter you. Yeah, and then it is more worse. Yeah, then it is worse. Yeah, the experience. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, oh, that was very terrifying, actually.
I mean, this is just the beginning. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You will get used over time. Over time you will get used to it. The first time is the most frightening, yeah? But then you see, oh, nothing happened to my body, so I mean everything was fine, yeah? It was just, you know, mind experience, yeah? Or a lucid dream, yeah?
Yes, I guess so. That's why I really appreciate the output that Lungta Mahabua and Ajahn Man gave to, you know, this type of approach of being like a warrior or feeling like, you know, like a kind of like a, you know, it is a fight.
It is a fight. Most people don't even think, you know, don't realize. And When I was in the West and took up meditation courses, you know, people say, now it's all about, you know, being well-being, you know, this well-being, yeah? Huh? And I said, no, this is not true, it's fight, yeah, you have to fight the kilesas that constantly command you to do this or do that, yeah? Hmm? So we have to have this fighting spirit.
The wishy-washy, yeah, you just have to be cool and everything will be fine, and yeah, I never vibrated with that approach, really.
Okay.
Okay, Mante, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Anyone else would like to ask you questions? It's
hello.
Okay, speak. Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is my first time on Zoom. So, I'm very new to the practice. My son is teaching me. And my question is more dealing with human relationships. Primarily my family, my mother and my sister. I know that I have an obligation to my mother to, you know, to care for her, yet it's a very challenging relationship, and I'm very torn about how much time do I spend with her, what is my obligation to her, because it's just a very, very stressful situation, very critical, very cruel. She doesn't understand me. I'm like an alien to her, you know? So, I'm learning the precepts. And then I get a lot of guilt when I'm angry with her because she's acting crazy. So I just kind of want to understand I don't want to create any bad karma. Like, I'm trying to clean my karma. So,
while you clean your karma, you create karma. I mean, it can be good karma or it can be bad karma. I mean, we do it all day long. That's why I said, you know, I mean, in the beginning, 24 hours a day, you know, every thought is karma, you know, every action is karma, yeah, every word is karma. So, I mean, we have to be careful. Now, you have to find an open heart. Huh? Then, if you find the open heart, then you can communicate with your mother on a completely different level. Yeah? Your mother will understand you if you open your heart. But you have certain views and opinions about your mother, just like your mother has certain views and opinions about you, and that's why you clash. So you free yourself, yeah? You just listen, yeah? Not thinking about why is she doing this or why does she say this or why that. No, listen with your heart, yeah? And that is something that you have to really to train, yeah? And you can only train that with samadhi, yeah? Listening to the Buddha or listening to the breath, yeah? And then just listening without thinking, without memorize to your mother, yeah? And see, she needs something, you know? But she cannot tell you, yeah? Or she is not able to tell you what she actually needs, yeah? Your obligation, to your mother, you know, I mean, take care of it, but you have also a sister, you know, share the taking care of it, yeah? And so on, yeah? But your frustration, yeah? Your stress is coming from yourself. You want to have a result, yeah? Yeah, and that is the stress that you create yourself, yeah? I mean, if you're open-hearted, you don't want anything. You're just listening. You're just aware of the things going on, yeah?
Right. Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So, next.
Yeah, anyone else have questions? Hello, John.
Yeah? Ah.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
So last time we talked, I tried to listen with my heart and not my head, as you recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And the big message was, in kinder words, I just need to shut up and practice. that's what I felt you were telling me, you know. So I guess I'm violating that by asking you a question. Well, the Kalesas were trying to tell me, I guess, you know, well, you can't ask any more questions. I'm like, well, that's an absurd response, right? So I'm just trying to find another layer. And so the layer that I came to with, you know, my fear and anxiety and blah, 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 it was actually the first question I asked you on my first call back in February was, when I was scared of death, what do you feel? And it was this feeling of guilt. And I keep coming back to this guilt, right? If I die, I've screwed up somehow.
No.
And,
no.
Sorry, what?
No, you didn't screw up.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like a, it's, I mean, obviously, yeah, I have to die. I mean, yeah, but it's like I was supposed to do X and Y before it happens. And, you know.
That puts you in a stress situation.
Yeah.
If you see every minute of your life, yeah, and make the best out of it, that is the way to go. Then you don't have to be guilty, oh, I couldn't accomplish this, or I couldn't accomplish that. Because if you think, you know, I have to accomplish this, or I have to accomplish that, that's put you in a stress situation, and the stress situation doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel guilty, yeah, because you did not accomplish it. And while you're in stress, I mean, you're not aware of what is actually going on in your life, yeah? If you use every minute, you know, I do the best out that I can with this minute of my life, yeah? I try to be as aware as possible, yeah? And I go, I mean, I have a goal that is important, yeah? I cannot walk with a life without a goal. I know the goal, yeah? And I know the path to this goal. And as long as I walk this path to this goal, I'm on the right track. If I reach a goal or not reach a goal, I mean, that is not within my possibilities, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? We put ourselves too much under stress, especially in the West, yeah? We want to achieve this, achieve that, you know? I mean, no, I have to... No. This is really, you know, I mean, counterproductive to your practice. Just go the path, one step, one step, one step. Yeah.
Okay. And the other guilt is just seeing how demonic it is inside. You know, like, it's evil. Like, it's really bad. But I haven't really done that bad in my life, in this life. I don't know what I did in my last life. You know, but I've been a pretty good person in this life. I mean, if I have to be objectively honest, and I'm pretty hard on myself. Mm. But the closer I get into the core, it is like, I see like atrocities in the world and I think, that's not bad. You know, I could do worse. And I like objectively look at how horrible I could actually be.
Mm.
And I've expressed this to other people in a moment of honesty, and they get scared. Like, I just tell them, you know, I don't hurt anybody, but I tell them, hey, these are the things that go through my heart, and they, like, look at me like I'm crazy, you know? So, am I, like, a uniquely evil person, or am I just being honest with myself? And...
Yeah, you are honest with yourself, but you shouldn't tell that to other people.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that the thing that you do not yet realize, that these are thoughts, and the thoughts don't belong to you. It's not you. Yeah? Huh? I mean, there are, and especially you live in an area where there are lots of these kind of thoughts around you. And you pick them up, and you think they are your thoughts.
Like a radio frequency? Like I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of radio towers around you, you know, I mean, especially Ukraine or the area, Romania, where you're living, yeah? Yeah? So,
yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of evil thoughts, you know, I mean, people, you know, I mean, the Ukrainians who want to kill the Russians or whatever, yeah? So you pick up these thoughts and then you think these are your thoughts. No. If you are in a completely different, yeah, environment, these thoughts would not come. Because you are far away from these radio towers. So the mistake that you make is that you think these are your thoughts. And with this, you create karma, yeah? You attach to these thoughts, you know, and then, of course, they will come back on its own, yeah? So just think of it. It's a cloud. It passes away, you know. It has nothing to do with me, yeah? It's a black cloud. It's a white cloud. It's a blue sky, you know. Yeah? Whatever happens, yeah? Use the principle of anatta, yeah? There is a thought.
Sorry.
Yeah, there is a thought. Yeah, I mean, I see the thought, but I am not the thought. Yeah.
So that's like a second layer of anatta, because for me it was, I mean, it's a practical subject or a practical application, but yeah. It was always a little bit philosophical. But then now it's like, no, it's actually someone else was fermenting it in their mind, and then it's passed, and I was just having to pick it up. So it literally wasn't mine. Like,
yeah.
Not just philosophically, like someone else created that sankhara, it's formless, so it was passing around, and then I grabbed it.
Yeah.
And are certain people more frequency open than other people?
That is certainly possible. Now, what you can do is, I mean, if you're going with your friends, yeah, and they have a nice conversation, yeah, I mean, retreat yourself, you know, go inside yourself, and then see all these. You can see all these emotions, you can see all these thoughts, you know, I mean, in this area, in this room. Yeah? You can pick them up or you don't pick them up. Yeah? And sometimes your own thoughts, you know, will be picked up by somebody else. Yeah? He will say the same thing.
Yeah.
He will say the same thing that you just thought about it, yeah? And then he will pick it up and then put it out loud. Yeah? So, make these exercises and see, you know, I mean, most of the time it has nothing to do with you. You just attach, just like you attach to the body.
Now that you mention that, I mean, all my life I've been pretty good at predicting what someone's about to say. Or, you know, I can see what they're really feeling when they're acting completely different. So, I guess I've always been kind of doing that, but I've been interpreting it as mine, which is the opposite of what I should do. So.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm. Again, there's a question from the chat.
Yeah.
Read that. Mm-hmm. Dear Long Paul, can I double check with you? Whatever that comes up during our meditation session, be it seeing the Buddha image, we should just ignore and go back to our meditation object. Is that correct?
You can do it. You can also, you know, you can also focus on the Buddha image while you do the Buddha. That is okay, yeah. But, I mean, you can also disregard it, you know, and just focus on the mental repetition of the word Buddha. Yeah? Whatever is more convenient to you. But on anything else, you know, I mean, if you repeat Buddha and the Buddha image comes up, you know, I mean, keep them both in mind until you can't keep both of them in mind, you know, until the Buddha becomes so strong that the Buddha image, you know, disappears, yeah? Then you get much more one-pointed, yeah? That's the whole point, yeah? But if you want to use two, you know, I mean, it is, yeah? Just like with the breath with breathing in, you know, put with breathing in and do with breathing out, it's fine, yeah? I mean, sooner or later, once the mind gets calm, you know, it doesn't want to concentrate on two things, yeah? I mean, don't try to push it away. Yeah? I mean, if the Buddha image comes up, don't push it away. Yeah? I mean, just put your interest more on the Buddha, yeah? Or use both of it, you know? Yeah? Tell the Buddha, start your Buddha, you know, Buddha. Whatever, yeah? Okay, next.
Yep, these are the questions submitted online. First question, how will Dharma help me in my life and career?
How, what? How Dhamma?
How will Dhamma help me in my life and career?
I don't know your life. I don't know your career. Dhamma, yeah. I mean, the Dhamma, if you understand karma, yeah, that is the most important thing to understand. Whatever you do unto others, yeah, others will do unto you, yeah. For whatever I have done unto others, others will do unto me, yeah. Karma is the thing, yeah. And this is something you have to understand. I mean, don't fight anything, you know, that happens to you, and don't accuse the people who did it to you, yeah, for doing bad unto you, because it is your own doing, yeah? Whatever you have done unto others. I mean, only this kind of understanding, once you completely agree to it, once you completely incorporate it in your daily action, I mean, this makes your life, you know, wonderful, yeah? The understanding of karma, yeah? And also, you know, the practice, you know, of meditation, of Buddha, of Samadhi, yeah? It makes us more aware of what is going on, yeah? Just like, you know, just like I answered the question of the one from Ukraine, yeah? Being aware of what is going on, yeah? I mean that, yeah? If you have a goal, you know, I mean, if you have a goal, we don't see the 18 other opportunities that present ourselves in this moment, yeah? So we go and run after our goal, and then this goal, you know, I mean, we cannot achieve, you know, because, I mean, we missed all the other opportunities, yeah? The more we are aware of all the opportunities that present themselves in this moment, yeah? Perfect, yeah? I mean, this awareness, you know, that helps you in whatever you want. This awareness and this understanding of karma, I mean, yeah, should make your life very, very pleasant. Yeah?
Thank you, Ajahn. There's two more but general questions.
Yeah.
So, how will Dhamma make me a better person? And the other one is, how can I gain merits and atone for my past sins?
You cannot atone for your past sins. The only thing you can do is, you know, I mean, don't do any more sins now. I mean, whatever we have done, whatever we have created, yeah, be it in words, be it in thoughts, and be it in deeds, you know, will come back to us, yeah. If we realize it and said, you know, and tell ourselves, okay, I've done this shit, you know, I mean, it will come back to me, you know, let me be open, you know, for receiving it, yeah. That is one thing, yeah. But we cannot attune for our, yeah, I mean, this is Christian, you know, and this is Christian religion, yeah. I mean, go and ask for the absolution, you know, of your sins. It is not possible. Yeah. But what you can do is, you know, I mean, for the first question, I mean, keep the five precepts that betters you. Yeah, and that is no matter what kind of religion. Every good religion has precepts. Yeah, I mean, follow these precepts, you know, and don't neglect them. Yeah. That already makes you a better person. And then the more you understand karma and how it works, yeah, the better you become. Because you won't do anything onto other people. Yeah? Before you do something, before you say something to somebody else, ask yourself, do you want to hear that from another person? If you don't, then don't say it. Yeah? Or if you hit another person, you know, or cheat another person, ask yourself, do you want to be cheated? Yeah? I mean, even this, you know, these small principles make you a better person, yeah? And it is all within the Dhamma. Okay?
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Next question is in German.
Yeah, I can ask that one.
Yeah.
Papst Franziskus sagt, wir befinden uns in einem Weltkrieg. In der Ukraine gäbe es imperiale Interessen. Kommen Sie zu derselben Einschätzung, wie sollen wir uns im Krieg verhalten?
Wie sollen wir uns im Krieg verhalten? Also meine Einschätzung ist ähnlich. Ja? Es ist kein, ich würde nicht sagen, dass es ein imperialer Krieg ist, es ist ein geopolitischer Krieg. Ne? Zwei Mächte versuchen sich, ne, da in der Ukraine, auf Kosten der Ukraine, ne, einen Kampf auszuführen. Ne? Und das ist immer schlecht. Ne? Wie verhalten wir uns in einem Weltkrieg? Ja, wir halten uns, wir versuchen uns rauszuhalten so gut wie möglich. Je mehr wir unseren Geist zur Ruhe bringen, umso mehr Möglichkeiten haben wir, richtig zu reagieren. Ja? Was ich vorhin gesagt habe in Englisch, ne? Wenn wir nach einem Ziel streben, dann sehen wir alle die anderen Möglichkeiten, die sich uns in jedem Moment offenbaren, nicht. Ne? Und manche dieser Möglichkeiten sind einfach der bessere Weg als wirklich tunnelviewed oder wie heißt das auf Deutsch, tunnelviewed, eingeschränkt, ne? Wie? Ein Tunnelblick, einfach mit Tunnelblick auf unser Ziel zuzurasen, ohne nach links und rechts zu schauen. Meistens endet das mit einer Katastrophe. Was das Beste in jeder Situation, erstens, jetzt, wo diese Propaganda vom Westen oder vom Osten oder von Norden oder von Süden kommt, ne, uns da rauszuhalten. Das interessiert uns nicht. Was andere sagen, interessiert uns nicht. Was in unserem Herz vorgeht, das interessiert uns. Uns etwas abzuschotten. Je mehr wir über die Situation außen um uns herum denken, umso mehr beunruhigter werden wir. Und je beunruhigter der Geist ist, umso mehr Schmarrn macht er. Umso mehr falsche Entscheidungen trifft er. Komm zur Ruhe, geh ins Samadhi und schau. Ja. Und entwickelt das Awareness auf Deutsch. Ich habe schon lange kein Deutsch mehr gesprochen. Was sage ich immer? Gewahrsamkeit, ja? Entwickel die Gewahrsamkeit. Sei gewahr, ja? Gewahr, wir sind sehr viel gewahr. Sei gewahr, was jetzt in dem Moment läuft. Und halt dich raus von dem, was die anderen Leute reden, was die anderen Leute meinen. Die Leute haben eine Meinung, andere Leute haben eine andere Meinung und so weiter. Und du brauchst dich mit keiner dieser Meinungen zu verbinden. Ne? Ne? Schau, was in deinem Herzen vorgeht. Das ist das, was ich sage. Okay, next question.
Zunächst die Sache auf Deutsch, aber die haben Sie damit schon beantwortet.
Habe ich schon beantwortet, okay. Ja. Second question also answered, ja. Now, so next English question.
Oh, okay. So next question. I am very aware of my mental and physical suffering. How can I use this for meditation?
Well, I don't understand.
He's very aware of his suffering.
And yeah.
He wants to know if he can use this for meditation somehow.
Yeah. I mean, if you're aware of your mental suffering or physical suffering, yeah. I mean, this actually, you know, gives you a lot of motivation, you know, to do a lot of practice. Yeah, this you can use, yeah, dukkha. You tell yourself, dukkha, ah, it's the first noble truth, yeah, suffering. You know, I mean, we don't suffer, you know, I mean, it's painful, you know, it's unpleasant, and so on, and so on. So, say, okay, there's dukkha, it's the first noble truth. Yeah? What is the second noble truth? It's the cause for our dukkha, yeah. What is the cause for our dukkha? Attachment, yeah. And then, what is the third noble truth, yeah? There's an end of dukkha, yeah. And what is the fourth noble truth? That is the path that we follow to end our dukkha, and that is sila samadhi panya, yeah? Yeah. Use it as a motivation, yeah. The more we see dukkha, yeah, the more we see the dissatisfactory of this whole world, you know. I mean, what does it provide us, yeah? When we look at this body, what kind of happiness does this body bring us? It brings us only unpleasant feelings, you know, we try to compensate these unpleasant feelings, for instance, hunger, you know, through eating, sleep, tiredness, through sleeping, and so on. Yeah? What kind of pleasantness brings this body bring? Yeah? What kind of pleasantness does our mental, you know, mental exuberance brings us? Yeah? I mean, we think about this, you know, I mean, yes. Yeah? We think, you know, this might be pleasant, but it never happened. Yeah? Or our memories, yeah? Look at that, yeah?
Okay, next question. I would like to meditate longer by observing the breath, but after about 15 minutes, I am overwhelmed by strong restlessness and sometimes good or helpful ideas come to mind, which I find hard to let go, and I end the meditation. How should I proceed?
What comes to mind?
Good or helpful ideas?
Oh, good or helpful, yeah. And the problem is that after 45 minutes of your practice, I mean,
15.
After 5 minutes of your practice, you know, the kilesas find some things, you know, to latch onto, yeah? So, you have to go back, yeah? All what you have to do is patiently go back to the Buddha, yeah? And emphasize the Buddha, yeah? If you think a lot, you know, the Buddha is the best, yeah? Because while you think Buddha, you cannot think anything else, yeah? That's the only thing you can do. 15 minutes, that is not even long, yeah? I mean, this restlessness, yeah? This restlessness is just means, you know, you have no concentration. And what we train with samadhi is concentration. The first thing is we concentrate on one object, yeah? Be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah? If we become restlessness, it means our concentration is completely out of the window, yeah? There's no concentration, that means restlessness. Okay? Next
question. The real pandemic is not COVID, but smartphone addiction. How to get rid of this?
If you have a river or if you have a lake, you know, close by, you know, just smoke. Just throw it, yeah. Oh. What else, you know? I mean, don't use it, you know? I mean, turn it off, yeah? Unless you want to call, you know? Or, you know, somebody receives a call, you know? Or, yeah? Hold him, you know, call message. Whenever you open your phone, you get the message somebody wants to call you. Yeah? Turn it off, yeah? I know in this society, you know, in this society, I find, you know, smartphones, yeah? The worst addiction, you know, I mean, it is as pretty much as bad, you know. It doesn't ruin our body, you know, but it ruins our brain. It ruins our intelligence. Yeah, we have a brain, you know, to develop intelligence, to develop wisdom, but the smartphone ruins all of this. Yeah, I mean, it gives us only views, opinions of other people, you know, and we are so filled with it that we don't even develop our own intelligence, yeah? So, turn it off as much as you can, yeah? If you don't need it, you know, throw it away, yeah? Or take out the SIM card, yeah? That is all what I can say, yeah? I mean, these smartphones, you know, I mean, people are so hooked on them. Right? Now, even in Thailand, I see, you know, even old people, you know, are hooked on their smartphones. Yeah, they're constantly waiting, you know, for their son to call or grandchild to call, you know, or this to or that, you know, and I mean, it is the perfect tool, yeah? If you want to say, you know, it's conspiracy theory, yeah? If it's a perfect tool, you know, of the people who want to control us, you know, I mean, for us, you know, they say, here you have entertainment, yeah? I mean, just like in Rome, you know, give the people bread and circus, you know, and you can control it. Yeah? And, you know, the circus is a small. That's where I'm constantly entertained. You know, I mean, look at the people when you go through the street. Yeah, when I drive, you know, I see the people, you know, on the motorbike having their phones, you know, while driving the motorbike. I mean, it's so dangerous. Yeah. And practice more. The more you practice, the less you need your smartphone. Okay. Next question.
Yeah. The next question is related to just now.
You can skip this one.
So.
What?
In today's society, you are almost forced to use a smartphone. Propaganda of breaking news is overwhelming me. Can you use a smartphone in a wise way?
Yeah, just use the telephone. Just use it. I mean, the easiest way is, I mean, in most of the countries you still get, you know, you still get the old phones, you know, where there are these number buttons, yeah? Then just buy one of these, yeah? If somebody wants to call you, you know, I mean, he can call you, and you can call out, yeah? And you don't have all this smart shit that appears on your screen, yeah? That is the perfect way, you know? I mean, you're still available to the people, or to your boss, or your yeah? But you don't have all the smart shit that appears, you know, and that influences you constantly. Very simple. Okay. I mean, here in Thailand, you still can get them. I mean, they're so cheap, you know. I mean, 600 baht, you know, what is it? 20, you know, not even $20, yeah? And then you put your SIM card in, and then, you know, people can call you, you can call out, and you don't have all this other thing. Yeah?
Ajahn, what should lay people do to protect people around them from the side effect of hate that arises from practicing body contemplation?
What is this question?
What should lay people do to protect people around them from the side effects of body contemplation, from the hate that comes up from body contemplation?
I mean, you have to be a little bit more specific, you know, how... The first thing is, you know, I mean, you don't practice body contemplation, you know, while your family is around, you know, while your loved ones are around. I mean, you practice body contemplation when you're alone, yeah? And then for the next few hours, you know, once you come out of the contemplation, I mean, you're not with any people. That's how you protect it, yeah? But you have to be more specific, you know, yeah? This is general, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, so the next one is the last question online. Ajahn, there are days when I have feeling of being sad and angry. When this feeling comes, I'm aware of this feeling and I try to find a way to let go. How do I keep this kind of feeling away and not let it affect my feelings? Thank you, Ajahn.
How can you keep rain clouds that are coming away? I mean, ask yourself, yeah? I mean, look at the feeling, look at what came before the feeling, because there must be something, you know? If there's if you have a pot of water on the stove, yeah? And as long as you put some fire or some electricity underneath the pot will be boiling. So the sad feeling, yeah? I mean, if you take the energy out, if you take the wood out of the fire will just diminish, yeah? And will go out. So you have to look what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories bring up this, yeah? Before this feeling of sadness came, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories were in there? And then, you know, get rid, you know, replace these memories, you know, replace these thoughts, you know, with Buddha, 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 and the feeling of sadness is instantly gone, yeah? When you stop your Buddha, you know, I mean, these thoughts come in, and then you will see, you know, they will create the sadness and whatever you have again. We have always to look of the cause, yeah? I mean, we only look at the effect, yeah? We only look at the sad feeling, all the sad feeling, then we think about the sad feeling that we create more sad feeling and more, yeah? More disturbance and so on, instead of what caused this, yeah? Because if you see, you know, what caused it, you know, we can, yeah? we can protect ourselves from the avalanche, yeah? If we don't throw a stone into the snow. But if we already throw the stone in the snow, I mean, we can catch the avalanche very much in the beginning, or, yeah, I mean, if we let it roll, you know, it will destroy us, yeah? That's the same thing, and, I mean, I talk so often about it, huh? Okay? That was the last question?
Yeah.
Any questions from the people online? Any last question?
Yeah, take the opportunity, if you have some questions, you know, ask them, yeah. It's getting slowly late.
Well, yeah, I think there are no more questions.
No more questions, yeah. Okay.
We have about 20 questions.
Yeah, I mean, we can...
Depends, we can do some...
Yeah, we can do some questions that come from the web, or... Just a few, because it's already, you know, it's getting late.
Hello, does Buddhist practice lead to a type of knowledge where one knows beyond any possible doubt that a permanent stop to dukkha is possible, not just a feeling of certainty or an experience that one misinterprets as proof, but one actual true certainty that not only an end to dukkha is possible, but that this end is absolutely permanent?
Yeah, of course there is a proof, yeah. Go into Nibbana, then you know. You can go into the preview of Nibbana, then you're pretty much certain, yeah, that there's an end of dukkha, yeah, or that these things are permanent. But the only way that you know it is permanent is you reach Nibbana. Yeah? I mean, people go, you know, I mean, when you think about people, you know, in Europe, they heard, you know, I mean, in California, there's gold, you know, I mean, they all rushed there, yeah? They didn't need proof that there's gold, you know, I mean, they just heard that there is gold, you know, and they rushed there, yeah? I mean, if you hear there's Nibbana, go and rush, you know, and then you see for yourself if it is there or not. Next.
I'm going to skip this one for now, it's too long. Ajahn, when I meditate, I get this strong desire to stretch my neck to hear it crack and it alleviates stiffness. It isn't a painful feeling, but a sort of pressure that builds up, and it's very hard to endure and not give in to desire to stretch my neck. I think this is just a habit because I always crack my joints when I stretch them. If I continue to fight this urge every time for as long as I can in meditation, do you think eventually it will stop coming up?
If you are stressed, you know, of course, you know, I mean, you know, stretching, yeah, I mean, if it is in the beginning of meditation, just do it once, yeah? If you constantly do it, then there's something wrong, and then you have to look at the reason why you're doing it, yeah? Stretch or crack, you know, or you relax, yeah? I mean, in the beginning, in the first 5 or 10 minutes of your meditation, you know, just relax, you know, relax all the muscles, but then, you know, be quiet, yeah? Don't do it again. And then, yeah, I mean, it will take a while, you know, until you, I don't know how long it will take, you know, maybe take half a year or a year, you know, until this urge doesn't come up again. Next.
Because I'm going to try to summarize this one. So this person thinks they're going slowly crazy from meditation. They've been meditating for about 10 years, and they notice that their like anxiety and obsessive thinking is just increasing. They meditate on the breath once a day, and then they have mood crashes and become worried and have dark thoughts and blah, blah, blah. They've asked other teachers about it, and they haven't really gotten good advice so far. And basically they're asking themselves if this is just their own mind preventing them from going through the practice and going through this hard phase, or if they should be careful because they've heard lots of stories about psychosis and stuff from meditation.
Yeah, if you go to India, you know, a tiger will eat you up, yeah. I mean, Kali tiger will eat you up, yeah. I mean, these stories exist, you know, but that doesn't mean that when you go to India, a tiger will eat you up. No, I mean, forget about all this, what other people say, you know. I mean, what other people say is their opinion, it's their views, you know. Yeah? And their views can be completely opposite to your views and opinions, yeah. I mean, concentrate on the Buddha, yeah. That is much better, yeah. And then thoughts will not increase. Yeah? If you stay with the Buddha, and whenever thought comes, you replace this, yeah. But that way he needs to put some effort in it. He needs to bring the mind back to the Buddha. I mean, then the breath, you know, one time a day, you know, I mean, this is certainly not enough. Yeah? I don't know how long he does it, maybe 15 minutes, then it just, yeah, it is better than nothing, but it won't decrease the number of thoughts. Yeah? And worries are thoughts. Yeah? I mean, replace the thought of worry with Buddha or, you know, whatever, with the attention on the breath. Yeah? But in his case, you know, in his or her case, you know, he or her should use, you know, the Buddha, yeah? Buddha, 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 yeah? Until the thoughts stop, yeah? Next.
I read that Theravada Buddhism is more close to the original teaching of the Buddha than Mahayana Buddhism. May I know if this is true?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Theravada means the teachings of the elder. Yeah. And when you look at, you know, when you look at Theravada, where have all these arahants been? Yeah, and they all were in the Theravada tradition. Yeah? Sri Lanka is a Theravada tradition, yeah? Not India. Sri Lanka is a Theravada tradition, and especially Thailand. When you look at the number of arahants here in Thailand, yeah, I mean it's a vast number. Yeah? It's more than 100, yeah, arahants, you know, who have been. And they're only, and that means in the teaching of the Lord Buddha is still, you know, pristine, you know, it's not clouded, yeah? Because if it is clouded, you cannot reach Nibbana, yeah? You cannot become an arahant. If it is clear, yeah, and pristine, you know, I mean, you still can become an arahant, yeah? And that is what is mostly here, you know, in the Theravada Buddhist countries, yeah? I mean, what are the Theravada Buddhists? Laos, Cambodia, you know, Thailand, yeah, and Sri Lanka.
Yeah. And most of these he can just Google himself, so I'm just going to ask the last one. When it comes to becoming a Sotapanna, does one have to visit holy places, like the three holy places?
I mean, people have all sorts of ideas. You should climb the Mount Everest, you know, on the top of the Mount Everest, you know, you shout all over the world, you know, I'm a Sotapanna. No, this is a joke. No, of course not. Yeah? don't believe that you're a Sotapanna. That is important. That is the biggest delusion that lots of people have. I'm a Sotapanna, I'm a Sakadagami, I'm an Anagami, I'm an Arahant. Yeah? People believe it, yeah? But, yeah, I mean, this belief can be extremely strong, yeah? It has nothing to do with reality. If you're a Sotapanna, you know you're a Sotapanna, and there's nothing else that you have to do except that you have to progress on your path of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Yeah? That's what you have to do. Yeah? Visit holy places is for people, you know, who don't have enough faith in the Lord Buddha. Yeah? Or in the Buddha's teaching. That's why they go around, you know, look at all these teachers, look at all these places, you know, to become more faith, you know, in the Buddha's teaching so that at the end they can start and practice. Next. Last.
So this person asks about the beginning of their sitting, what they should be doing. So for now they have been going, like doing a body scan in the beginning,
yeah,
which gets them quite calm,
yeah,
for about 10 minutes, and afterwards they switch to Anapanasati. Now, yeah, they've read that they shouldn't do different objects, and they basically want to know if it's okay to do that or if they should stick just with Anapanasati.
No, I mean, body scan is okay. Yeah. I mean, do it in the beginning, you know, but then don't go back, yeah? I mean, you do it for just like the last question, or one of the earlier questions, yeah? I mean, do it in the beginning, yeah? For 5-10 minutes, do the body scan, so, and that body scan also relaxes everything, yeah? And then afterwards you stay with the Anapanasati, yeah? And don't go back to the body scan. Or don't go back to relaxes or relaxer, yeah? That's perfectly fine. Okay, I think it's enough, you know, I mean, it's already 1.5 hours, yeah? Somebody's going to fall asleep already.
Okay. Thank you, Dan Ajahn, for the Dharma talk at the beginning and for answering all the questions today. Yeah, let's all pay respects to Dan Ajahn, three times. See you next session.
Okay. Yeah, and practice. Take the opportunity if you have the opportunity to practice as much as you can. Yeah. And don't get so much influenced by what other people say, you know, what newspapers say or news say, you know. I mean, stick to your heart. Okay? Have a nice day, have a nice evening, have, you know, whatever. And see you next time.
See you. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Waving.
Okay.